Happy Resurrection Day. Amen. You know, the Lord gave us happy at the graveyard. The devil gave us sadness, but the Lord gives us happy at the graveyard. Amen. I've been writing a little book of poetry. My kids say they won't read it. Simple poems of life. And I wrote this down a few days ago. My fear of death is that I might cease to be. My only hope is what Jesus Christ did on and after the tree. My Lord's empty tomb is my guarantee. He will remember me. What an awesome God we serve. Woo! Praise the Lord. All right. I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, I need to release the young people. Yeah, they're sitting here so nice. And they've been sitting like little darlings. Amen. Not the adults. The kids are sitting like little darlings. I want to dismiss them to go to their places of praise. Amen. That's right. Take them out of here. Even if they resist, they'll be glad they went once they get there. Amen? And even if you resisted coming to church today, you'll be glad you came now that you're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. You switched sides on me. I look around here, people have switched seats on me. I'm as confused as a termite in a yo-yo right now. Looking around. Now I can't even zero in on anybody and pick on anybody because I don't know where you're sitting. But the Lord knows. Amen. Amen. I want you to open up your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Luke, St. Luke chapter 23. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to begin reading we're going to read 10 verses from verse 33 down to verse 43. I'll draw a text from verse 42. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. That would be, according to John, the skull. There they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, the rulers also with them, derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him, in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, three tongues. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we have received the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I want to draw your attention to the cry of the thief on the cross, verse 42, Lord, remember me. You may be seated. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was crucified between two lost sinners, Matthew and also Mark declare them as thieves. Luke declares them as two malefactors. John declares them as the others. There were two others. These two men are dying next to Jesus Christ. What a place to die if you're going to die. You just want to die on the right side of Jesus. What a joy it is to know that Jesus Christ has come to take care of us. There are two thieves. I believe they were buddies. In fact, I believe not only were they buddies, I believe they were also buddies of Barabbas. They were thieves, but more than thieves, they were insurrectionists. They were trying to withstand and withhold and pull back the powers of Rome. And they were rejecting the powers that be. I know that they were insurrectionists because it was the crucifixion of the cross was the qualifications for an insurrection person. Not all thieves were crucified on crosses. Some were beheaded. Some were burned to death. Some were drowned. But the worst sinners of all were crucified upon the cross, slowly, agonizing, shameful, embarrassing death. But the Holy One, Jesus Christ, took all of our sins, took all of our shame, took all of our wickedness, and he went and stood between the tomb and the judgment of God. Jesus Christ came to stand on our behalf. These two thieves are not named, but I'm going to give them a name. I'm going to call one of them James, and one of them Judas. We know the middle one, his name is Jesus. We have the three J's, James, Judas, and Jesus. I do believe that they probably were buddies, they probably were partners in crime, these thieves, not Christ. But these two thieves, and when they were crucified on crosses, they discovered someone very amazing, someone very unique being crucified between the two of them. Judas, in keeping with the name, and of course, James, the thieves, they mocked Jesus. They cried, the authorities cried, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and others." And they cried, "He saved others, but himself he cannot save. He walked on the water, but himself, he can't deliver us through the storm. He delivered the leper. He cleansed the hurting, and he gave life to those that needed healing. But he cannot heal and give life to himself. He saved others. Himself, he cannot save." You better thank God that that is true. He saved you and I. Because himself, he could not save in order to save us. These two thieves on the cross, I used to think the one that got saved was on the right and the one that was lost was on the left. The Bible doesn't say. I don't know whether James was on the left and Judas was on the right. Don't know whether James is on the right and Judas on the left. All I know is Jesus is in the middle. And whether the one that got saved was on the right or the left, it doesn't matter. Because he got saved, he was on the right side. Even if he was on the left side, he was on the right side, the one that got saved. They'd watched Jesus suffer and agonize on the cross of Calvary. And I believe at the beginning, Matthew and Mark both declare that these thieves mocked Jesus as well. And they made fun of Jesus Christ, mocked him and criticized him. But Jesus Christ went right in the center of these two thieves. And I want you to know Jesus was in the center of these two thieves. And I want you to know Jesus must be in the center of your life in order to save you. Jesus is in the center of our storms. He is in the middle of our sins, not him sinful, but us. He is in the middle of death, only to resurrect. He is in the middle of God's judgment. We must put Jesus Christ in the center of our life. Until we put Jesus Christ in the center of our life, we'll have no real life. He must be in the center of our family. He must be, you have families that are child-centered. You have families that are husband-centered. You have families that are wife-centered. As good as it is to be loving and affectionate, until your family is Christ-centered, until your life is Christ-centered, you are going to find yourself bound in the storms, hopeless in despair. You're going to find yourself in all kinds of problems unless you put Jesus Christ in the middle. And these thieves made fun, both of them did, till finally the thief that got saved, the one that said, "Lord, remember me," got silent and quiet. The thief got quiet and silent while the other thief, Judas, was yelling and screaming and saying, if you can, save us and us, save yourself and us too. And the thief that got saved and said, "Lord, remember me," he got quiet and he began to put the dots together. He began to listen to the words of Jesus Christ. He began to see his condition. He began to see that he was bound and on his way to hell. He was going to die without God. And he put the dots together. I believe Jesus was saying in his heart, "Hurry up, get the dots put together. I'm getting ready to go." And Jesus is going to descend into the place of paradise. And I want you to know that he did raise again from the grave. He did go to paradise. He did come up out of the grave. And I want to say to everyone in this room, look at how wicked America is. Look at how confused the world is. Look at how desperate society is. Look at how wicked society is. Look at it. Start putting the dots together. And God would say to you, get the dots put together quick, because I'm coming back. The resurrection is proof that Jesus Christ is coming back. And we need to be a church that is Jesus-centered. You need to have a life that is Jesus-centered. You need to make sure that Jesus is first in your life. And the thief began to put the dots together, and he said, "Lord, remember me." First, he rebuked his friend. I'm going to say James rebuked his friend Judas. The thief rebuked his friend and said, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing that we are also in the same condemnation? Dost not thou fear God, seeing that we are receiving the just deeds of our wickedness? Dost not thou fear God?" And I want to say to you in this room, this world has changed so much over the last 10 years. In fact, in the last 20 years, it doesn't look like the same place I grew up. The 50s and 60s. I grew up in the 50s and 60s. This is not the same America I grew up in. This is not the same world I grew up in. This world is spiraling out of control, downward, rejecting God's word. And it has become basically acceptable in our day to live any way you want to and call it simply your lifestyle. And the churches and the world has pretty much accepted the fact that no one can find fault with anyone else, that your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth. And they've rejected God's truth. I want my truth to be God's truth. We live in a day that is accepted, just literally accepted, same-sex marriage. literally has accepted death and the types of living that people are living in today, literally accepted the sex trafficking, the drug trafficking. We're living in a world that feels like that they don't need the Bible. And I want to say to everyone in this room, you need the Bible. I need the Bible. We need the Bible. The kids sing the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. See, you didn't think I knew how to spell, but I do. Woo! But we must put Jesus back in the center of our belief, back in the center of our theology. For that one there on the cross put the dots together and said, whoa, this man is not dying like ordinary man. This man is forgiving. Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. This man, Jesus, is different. And that thief on the cross, looking, putting the dots together, said, whoa, I'm in the presence of a king. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And I believe Jesus said in his heart, it's about time you got the dots connected. About time you figured it out. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me when I'm at my weakest. This man was at, his hope was gone. This man on the cross, crucified beside Jesus Christ, he was hopeless. He was helpless, hopeless. But when he turned to Jesus Christ, he became helped by God. And now he had all the hope fill his soul because he knew the one beside him was dying in his place and would come and resurrect from the grave. I believe that with all my heart. I believe the thief knew. Amen. You say, but the thief, he's the last person to die before Jesus Christ went to the tomb that we know of. That he died without being baptized. There was no river around the cross except the river of God's love. Jesus is that river. There was no river to be baptized. But Jesus had a river that was flowing out of that cross. The devil says, God doesn't love you. The cross says, oh, yes, he does. The devil says, you'll never make heaven. And the cross says, oh, yes, you will. The devil says, you've got too much sin in your life. You can't have it forgiven. You can't go to heaven. You're a sinner. The devil says that, but the cross says, oh, yes, you will. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. That wonderful, blessed cross of Calvary where Jesus Christ bled and died. The devil says, God is unfair. And the cross says, God is true and faithful. The devil says, God is the maker of pain and sorrow. But the cross says, I've got that covered. I'll fix that. Because Jesus Christ is in the middle of our life, and we need to accept that fact that he is in the middle of our life. Lord, remember me. Don't let me oversleep. Remember me. Remember me when my body is in ashes or my body is lowered under the grave in the clay. Lord, remember me in my older years. Remember me in my tragic life. Remember me in my sorrow and my pain. Lord, remember me when I'm going through so much hurt in my life. Lord, remember me. Don't forget me. Don't leave me in the trash heap. Don't leave me in Gehenna. Don't leave me in outer darkness. Don't leave me in the bottomless pit. Don't leave me thrust out of God's kingdom. Lord, remember me. Hallelujah. When your body takes its last breath, Lord, remember me. When it looks like your body's going to be charred to ashes or put in a grave, Lord, remember me. And when this thief cried out, Lord, remember me, Jesus Christ said, I'm glad you connected the dots together, young man. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus went first to paradise. The thief that was forgiven and saved went after the death of Christ. The reason the thieves died after Jesus Christ died is because no one dies while Jesus Christ liveth. And Jesus Christ descended into the place called paradise. And I believe he said, I've got a pickup for you. I believe he said to one of the angels, I need you to sweep by Golgotha's hill. I need you to go by the skull. I need you. There's a dying thief on the cross that cried out, Lord, remember me. I need to send you, angel. And God, Jesus Christ, sends an angel to swiftly go by as the man who dies, forgiven by Jesus Christ, and draws his last breath. The angel says, come with me. Where are we going? We're going to paradise. Jesus Christ said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's what he said. What a joy it is. I'm not going to keep you long today, but I want you to listen to me. We need to hurry up to make a decision with God. This world is getting decayed. Hurry up, put the dots together. Jesus Christ is coming again. Say, well, he can't come. I've got things to do. He'll come. And all you're doing, he'll come. Amen. This world is in the process of dismembering you. Sin dismembers you. In fact, when those that knew you before you were saved and those that you that sin, your friends will remember your sin. And when they remember your sin, they're going to dismember you. But we live in a world today that slowly but surely we're being dismembered. You may be young and full of health, but I want you to know the older you get, the more you're going to see that you're being dismembered. You may be full of energy today, full of excitement today, but I want to remind you, the world is dismembering. It's being dismembered, everything in it being dismembered, and God wants to remember you. See, when you've been dismembered by people and dismembered by sickness and disease, you've been dismembered by death, hell, and the grave, you've been dismembered by the heartaches and the hurts and the storms and the tragedies of life, when you've been dismembered, when your dreams have been dismembered, I want you to hear the words of Jesus Christ. I remember you. Hear the words of the thief. Lord, remember me. And this world will dismember you, but you're going to need to cry out, Lord, remember me. And Jesus will remember you. We all know the story of the ark, Noah and the ark. We all know that in Noah's ark in chapter 7, Genesis verse 16 says that the Lord shut Noah in. Shut him in. That's a great description of getting saved. The Lord shuts us in. He shuts us in forgiveness. He shuts us in his mercy. He shuts us in a vessel to be able to go through this world. And that vessel is the Holy Ghost in you. Noah spent 371 Jewish days in the ark. In our time, it'd be 1 year, 365 days according to Jewish time, 371 days. He's in the ark. 371 days, he smells the animals. 371 days, he hears the thunder. 371 days, he feels the seasickness, the raging of the waters. He feels the stench. He smells the stench of death, decay all around him. 371 days, he's shut up in an ark. Very little light he can see except through the top window that God allows him to look up through a window of a ray of life for 371 days, Noah was bound inside the ark. Maybe you've been going through 30 days, 50 days, 70 days. Maybe you've been going through a year, and you've just been shut up, just being tossed about with the waters of life. You're going stir crazy. You don't know what to do with your life. You're bound. You're going nowhere. You're rising above the waters of God's judgment. But God's trying to reach you and trying to protect you. And for 371, maybe you're going through 365 days or 371 days. Maybe you're going through a time of affliction. But here's what the Bible says in Genesis 8:1, and God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. Did you know God loves animals too? God remembered Noah and every living thing in that ark, whether it was plant life or whether it was the life that was outside the ark, God remembered the animals and remembered Noah. And I want you to know God is a good God and he remembers. He knows what you're going through. He knows the storms of life that you're facing. He knows the pain that you're struggling in. God remembers you. By the way, he remembered you before you were born. He went to the cross of Calvary so that a thief could say, Lord, remember me. And Jesus says, now you're talking. Now you're talking. Pray that prayer. Lord, remember me. The Bible says that God remembered Noah. He also remembered his wife, remembered his sons, his daughter-in-laws. God also remembered the animals. Did you know God loves animals? Did you know God loves animals? Let me say that again. Did you know God loves animals? I can prove that. Look at each other. God loves a little lower form of life. Animals. Hello? And anybody that would abuse an animal, anybody that mistreat a dog, a cat, an animal, although I don't know whether a cat's at, never mind. All dogs go to heaven, all cats go, never mind. But anyway, I believe that if a person mistreats an animal, they ought to go to jail. Now, I'm not talking about whacking chicken necks off so we can have fried chicken. Amen? My wife's got a setting hen. She had babies. She got six little babies. Maybe it's five. I don't know. Anyway, and she said, they're so cute. All I can see is drumsticks fried. See this belt? This is a picket fence around a chicken graveyard. I don't think we should be mistreating animals. I believe that God has a special hell for people that mistreat the innocent. But God remembered Noah. Maybe you're boxed in. Maybe you've tried to obey God, but you feel like I've missed him. Maybe you tried to do something for God and you feel like, all I'm being is tossed in storms. I'm being tossed in this sickness and then this sickness and then this problem, this problem. And you're just being tossed around in an ark. You know you're safe in Christ, but you're just going nowhere. You're just being tossed around on the waters. I want you to know God remembers you. God remembered Noah. Isn't that beautiful? But this world dismembers us. Sin dismembers us. Time dismembers us. You may be young and attractive right now. One day you'll be old and never mind. Do I look like the cheese fell out of my sandwich? I'm not going to say that. Lord, remember me. Now, you don't know when you're going to die, but you better learn this prayer, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me when my strength is gone. Lord, remember me when I'm in the storm. Lord, remember me when all is turned against me. Lord, remember me when I'm spiraling down to the grave. Lord, remember me when my life comes to a close. Lord, remember me when my home is disarrayed. Lord, remember me when my mind is confused. Lord, remember me when I'm hurting, when I'm struggling, when I'm trying to get through. God, Lord, remember me. And the Lord says, come here. Let's take a trip to paradise. And the thief was taken into paradise. The thief that was saved was taken into paradise. This world dismembers us. When you sin, friends sometimes will dismember you. They'll remember your past and dismember your life. Even churches, not this one, if I ever find out that anybody's dismembering anybody in this church, we, you know, the pastor and you are going to have a talk. It doesn't matter to me what your life is like. We want you in the house of the Lord. Doesn't matter to me your confusion, your hurt, your sorrow. We want you in the house of the Lord because it is in the house of the Lord that you can truly cry out, Lord, remember me. When life has dismembered you, cry out, Lord, remember me. When sickness and disease has dismembered you, cry out to Jesus so that he will remember you. When I look at the empty cross, I remember that Jesus suffered on that cross and died. When I look at the tomb and I see it empty, I remember that our God went to the cross, but he didn't stay there. He conquered our death, hell, and the grave. He conquered our sin. He shed his blood. He was taken down from the cross. He was carried into a tomb. He was laid in a tomb, but he didn't stay there. He arose again from the grave, and now he ever liveth to make intercession for you and I, because our God is alive, and he remembers you. Remember me. It takes a living God to remember us. And the thief said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. King, yes. Paradise, yes. And Jesus Christ said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus chose to remember us. I pray this prayer a lot, and I don't want you to feel that I'm doubting or I'm not accepting the truths of God's word, but I pray this prayer a lot. Lord, don't let me oversleep. I'm talking about death. I pray this prayer a lot. Don't let me cease to be. Don't let me thrust out into outer darkness. Don't let me fall into the bottomless pit. Let me not be thrust from thee. But remember me. And Jesus Christ will remember you if you will just recognize that he is in the center of your life. Say, well, preacher, I'm not like them insurrectionists. I'm not an evil person. I've never murdered anybody. I've never robbed a bank. I'm a pretty good guy. I mean, I don't need to be saved. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, yeah, but I've never been a drunkard. I've never been a murderer. I've never robbed a bank. I've always took care of my children. I've always been a good person. I'm not a molester, a beater, or a hurting someone else. I'm just kind of quiet and gentle person. I don't need a Savior. Yes, you do. You ought to thank God that you never murdered anyone. You ought to thank God, but it's only by the grace of God that God has protected you thus far. But you'll still, without knowing Jesus Christ, without remembering, crying out to Jesus Christ, without turning to Christ, you will not make heaven your home. Jesus Christ came in between you and others. Jesus Christ came between you and your sin. Jesus Christ comes between you and your devastation, you and your grave. And all he wants to hear is the words coming out of you, Lord, remember me. Remember me, Lord. I'll close with this. If you're not going to buy my book and read my poem, I'll read it to you here. I've got a good deal on my books. If you'll pay me now, I won't make you read it. But anyway. I'm giving no book to the first 20 bucks. But anyway. But I wrap this up. My fear of death is that I might cease to be. Nobody here wants to cease to be. My fear of death is that I not cease to be. My only hope is Jesus, what Jesus Christ did on and after the tree. My Lord's empty tomb is my guarantee. He'll remember me. This is my guarantee that my God remembers me. That empty tomb over below Gordon's Calvary's Hill at Gordon's Garden. That empty tomb in Israel declares that Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. He remembers us. Lord, remember me. Maybe you're going through a storm right now. Maybe you ought to cry, Lord, remember me. Maybe you're uncertain about your life. You need to cry, Lord, remember me. Put the dots together. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Put the dots together. He's not just a man. He's the eternal pre-existing God of the universe. Put the dots together. Jesus Christ is God robed in flesh. Put the dots together. God was in him, reconciling the world unto himself. Put the dots together. Jesus Christ is the eternal pre-existing sovereign God of the universe, creator of all. And he went to the cross to take our sin, wipe the slate clean, give us a future, so that we can cry out to him after we look at the empty tomb. He's risen. He's not here. After we look at the empty tomb, we can cry, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me when I'm down. Lord, remember me when I have no strength. Lord, remember me when I'm going through a trial. Remember me. On that resurrection morning, Matthew 28, early Sunday morning, the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. As he began to descend down there to Gordon's garden, the tomb of Jesus, as he began to descend, that angel so powerful and so pontifical and gracious and majestic, as he begins to descend upon that tomb, the ground begins to crawl An earthquake begins to take place. The stone is blown away. The angel descends and stands and later on sits on the stone that had been blown away. He says to all that comes, he's not here, he is risen. And when he descended upon that stone and that stone was broken away and the earthquake, the Bible says that the soldiers froze. They literally were terrified. They could not move. They were paralyzed. Just simply to say, open up, you everlasting doors. The King of Glory is coming through. The Lord God mighty, the Lord Almighty, strong and powerful and true. The Lord Almighty is coming through. The King of Kings is coming through. So that you can say, Lord, remember me. Reality is the truth. One day you'll be cremated or you'll be put in a grave if the Lord doesn't return. I'm praying that he returns quickly. But if the Lord doesn't return soon, the reality, everyone in this room will face cremation or you'll face burial. When the preacher stands at that casket and you're laying there, let it be said of you, you cried, Lord, remember me. The people have died and went on. For the most part, we have forgotten. But God never forgets. He remembers. Amen. Shoot, I don't even know my great-great-great-grandfather. Don't even know my great-great-great-grandfather's name. But the Lord does. So the Lord does. You say, well, that's not saying much. I can't even remember grandkids' names half the time. We're getting so many grandkids, Judy and I. We got a bumper crop coming. Judy and I have got so many grandkids, I can make up a name and hit one of them. That's pretty cool, huh? Amen. Stand with me. We're going to give an invitation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have missed the mark with God. All need to be saved. Everyone in this room, you need to cry, Lord, remember me. You need to bring your sin. You need to bring your sorrow. You need to bring your pain. You need to bring your sinful life to Jesus Christ. And you need to come down here to this altar and say, God, please forgive me and remember me. Would you like, as we give the invitation, still plenty of time, it's early, would you step out from where you're at and make your way down to an old-fashioned altar and bow at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I believe who you are. I believe you're my Savior. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you're resurrected. I believe you are who you say you are, Lord. Remember me.